has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with Felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of these disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area. That places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution. And we reached the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem, how is the process towards the solution, and what is the final product and prototype. These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space. All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is this phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere. Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad Startup, has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I'm Miss Sarah Dema.
There is so much more that can be said about the country's knowledge-based production and activities, so before we go, let's look at a couple of developments in this area. Most of us are familiar with vitamin supplements. However, some vitamins need to be injected, which can be a hassle. Now, a knowledge-based company has produced an oral form of one of these vitamins, saving many of us from the pain of sticking needles. This pharmaceutical company has produced the first oral form of a vitamin B complex that was typically only found in an injectable form. This company also operates out of Pardis Science and Technology Park. It is also one of the first and largest knowledge-based companies. It might be interesting to know that this company mainly produces raw materials such as probiotic products needed in the pharma industry. Such productions have saved the country millions on imports so far. Knowledge-based productions are driven by scientific discoveries, and Iranian scientists produce roughly 2% of the world's scientific articles. That's according to the Minister of Science, Research and Technology. Mohammad Ali Zulfigol says Iran, on average, registers around 70,000 scientific articles in international journals each year. He says Iran is now globally ranked 15th for the number of scientific papers it produces. Zulfigol noted the quality ranking of Iranian articles in the top 10 fields like technology and engineering. The minister highlighted that the nation ranks 5th in nanotechnology publications as well. The official further added that those publishing academic articles also work in knowledge-based companies, helping produce quality products in the competitive field. And with that, we come to the end of this segment. You can contact us with your thoughts and comments via email. And don't forget, you can also send us topics you're interested in. Thank you for tuning in and join us next week, same time, for another edition of Bazaar. It's bye for now. Until then.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. This is your program, A Muslim Lady. I am Asma. I have the pleasure to be your host. And in here we have Sister Zainab with us. Welcome, sister.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for having me.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's always a pleasure to have you here. And I'm sure we're going to have so much of interesting stuff to talk about. Okay, sister, since we're talking to Muslim ladies out there, I would, again, like to talk about this very fact, which is related to their marital life. When a woman wants to marry, of course, there are too much of ideals in her mind, and then she has this very a long list of ideas that she wants to see in the other person. And maybe at the very first step, she does not care about wealth. But there is no doubt that money matters in our life. So, but it is not a criteria for picking the husband, of course. Still, in the middle of these ideas, there comes a problem, and it is poverty. Am I going to say no to a person just because he is penniless?
It's a very, very important question that happens.
Yeah.
That has become
especially
a criteria.
Especially right now.
Yeah, that has become a criteria right now. And I would before I would answer that, I would like to say that the criteria for marriage in Islam differs, as you said rightly, that money is definitely not the criteria. I would say it's not the only criteria, rather.
Yeah.
However, it is, because it's a security of a woman. So, but I would say there are limits. Like we have been told, look for ethics. Look for religious views.
For morals.
Yeah, look for if he's able to provide you three things in terms of, if you're going to look for that monetary thing, at least look for three things. He should be able to provide you shelter, provide you clothing, and provide you food.
Mm-hmm.
Do not exceed in this. You know, seeing a person materialistically, seeing a person financially means this. If he's able to shelter me, if he's able to clothe me, and if he's able to feed me, if these three criteria are met, then I should not say no.
Of course, these are the secondary ideas, because the very first, he must be a good person.
Definitely. I said there should be ethics,
Yeah. Good
morals. You have to look at his religious views, because unfortunately, I have had friends who used to do hijab all their life. Throughout their life, they performed very good hijab. They went out in a very modest form. And when they got married, their life changed.
Yeah.
And then why? Because the religious views of the husband are not that of yours.
Yeah.
That means whatever you have been carrying out so far, the amount of modesty you have shown to your Lord, and now someone comes into your life and he says, like, I don't like this. Just be, you know.
Like others,
like be in access to every third person, everyone.
Yeah.
You should not have a control in your hands, because, you know, when you are having a job, you do have a remote control in your hand. You do have a power, because as we are suggested in the modern world today, you don't have power. You're powerless. You're not free. You're as free as anything in hijab, because you have that remote control in your hand. Who can see what?
Yeah.
So you have that ultimate power, you know. You are controlling. You're controlling the eyes of others on you when you're actually practicing hijab. So
this is an example of a partner who would take you to, drag you down, actually.
Who can actually take you from a maximum level to a minimum.
Exactly, yeah.
So we should not be, that should not be a criteria on choosing a partner.
So at the very first step, it is important for him to be a religious person who considers God in every step he takes. And then if you're going to come to the financial part, to materialistic part of his life, he should be able to protect you.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to, you said poverty. In Quran, we have the chapter 24, verse number 32. Marry the spouseless among you. If they are poor, God will enrich them with his bounty.
Yeah.
So when we are...
So this is the guarantee.
Guarantee from whom?
Our
Creator.
From the one who never breaks his promise.
Exactly. So when he's promising us, so he's indirectly trying to tell us, let that not be your criteria.
Exactly.
If his religious lives go above all that, just go and marry him, you know? So that does not mean that you should marry every poor person around. Like
every, just randomly, no. If he's a good person.
Any poor person around, I mean,
if he has a well-mannered behavior, if he's educated enough, if he's a person who understands you, if he knows humanity, and if he has the keys into goodness, then poverty, I don't think, is going to be an obstacle. And right now, let's go for a break and then we'll be back. dear listeners of Muslim Lady, we're talking about poverty being an obstacle into the marriage of a lady. And we talked about it already, that it is not an obstacle because God has made you a promise and he would never break his promise. So if you find the right person, do not be afraid of getting married to him just because he's a poor person.
Yes, just because he's poor. Actually, we refrain from a marriage for certain reasons. However, this poverty is one of the reasons. But we have to understand that marriage is a sign of God's blessings.
Yeah, and tell you something. Now, we don't call it poverty because the person who has a house, who has a car, is not poor anymore. It's not called poor anymore.
Yeah.
But right now, people's perspective of money has changed in a way that maybe they would count on your personality less than they count on your bank account.
If he's not a millionaire or billionaire,
exactly.
He's definitely a poor guy.
And now the story is not about being poor or not. It's about how much more than others you have.
Exactly. Unfortunately, even in India today, that I'm hearing from others is that I was reading an article and that really hurt me. Because the article was from a woman and she said that I'm 45 now and the criteria of marriage has changed from because boys are looking for working women.
Yeah,
now
this
is shame.
Another problem, yeah.
Now that's a shame on a man, that looking for a working woman because so that they would also earn and she would also earn and
lend them a helping hand and bring him money.
And I really was wondering on the situation of the society out there today because of the changing criteria. However, we were talking about being poor. Like, first of all, we have to understand that marriage is a highly recommended act of virtue, you know, which should not be avoided for any of the reasons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 30, verse number 21, he created for you spouses among yourselves so that you can live in tranquility with them. And he has created love and mercy between you. So, you know,
the most important factor is peace.
Yeah. I'm marrying for some reason. Islam is telling me some of the reasons for getting married. But I'm looking for money. I'm looking for, I don't know. See, there's one of the hadiths from Prophet, peace be upon him. He says that whoever refrains from marriage because of poverty, he has indeed thought badly of his God.
Yeah, because they don't trust in him. Because they don't trust that, okay, God has made a promise to me. There's a guarantee. Still, they're scared because they count everything based on these worldly mottos.
Not just poverty today. There are so many things that are the reasons. However, one of the reasons may be very less today, but this is a reason. Like some say that I want to be ascetic.
I have
had the friends who would say that I want to be ascetic. I want to attain that closer position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why I don't want to marry or I don't want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, now that you opened that box, let's keep it there. Go for a short break and then we'll come back to continue the rest.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Okay, welcome back, dear ladies. This is your program, and we're talking about the obstacles of marriage. Poverty, we talked about it already, and then you mentioned austerity. Some people wish to stay alone and not getting married just because they want to be, austere. They want to get so close to God and they find that as an excuse, I guess.
Exactly. So, Imam Jafar Sadiq al-Islam, he quotes from, he said that Prophet had forbidden the woman to become ascetic.
Okay.
And to prevent themselves from husbands.
Like the nuns.
Yeah.
Like the same thing that happened
that
in
we
the
have in
Christian culture. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't have any such thing in Islam. And women is actually prohibited from that thing for certain reasons. Like there's one of the hadiths, another hadith from Prophet, peace be upon him. He says that if anyone likes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in purity, then he should meet him with a wife.
Yeah.
You know,
so
as
it's
a
not
woman,
only for women, it's for both of them.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
But here we are talking about women.
Yeah.
And let's give some examples. The Prophet, peace be upon him, had one of the companions named Usman. And his wife would come to Prophet, peace be upon him, and tell him that my husband fasts during the day and he stands in the prayers during the night. Prophet, peace be upon him, gets so angry because she indirectly is telling him that he does not give time to me, you know. He does not
take care of the family, of course.
Yeah. So Prophet, peace be upon him, goes to him and says that Islam is not about, I didn't come to tell you about, like, you know, going for spiritual journeys, carrying
out
pilgrimages
and all.
Yeah. Marriage has been done to, like, you know, you guys are married to satisfy each other. So why are you refraining from it? This worship is not, it's useless.
Yeah.
You know? And similarly, there are some women who again come and complain to Prophet, peace be upon him. And then he goes to the pulpit and then gives a sermon and says that I did not come to teach you a religion wherein you just only, you know, stand
sit
in the prayers.
And worship and do not take care of people around you.
Exactly.
And
especially of
job.
Your marriage. And you should not.
Yeah.
So marriage has its own importance. Well, being ascetic, that's like, because people would, men would only say that we have actually made promises to our, we have done oath with God that we would refrain from our wife, we would refrain from getting closer to them because in order to achieve proximity to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then even Quran says that these are vain oaths.
Yeah.
These oaths have no meaning. So, you know, men should also avoid this and women should also avoid this. There's one of the very important things. Imam Sadiq al-Islam, a woman comes to him and says, may God bless you. I'm an ascetic woman. Imam answers, what does asceticism mean to you? If asceticism was a means of acquiring favor of God, then Fatima salamu alayha would have been more entitled to it than you because none gained more favor than her.
Yeah.
So, and again, a similar incident is narrated from Imam Raza al-Islam. Well, what we get to know is that sometimes people try to gain that level of spirituality with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proximity.
Yeah. But they forget about the fact that getting married is actually what God wants them to do.
Yeah, because Prophet, peace be upon him, says that one who marries has already guarded half of his religion. Therefore, he should fear Allah for the other half.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's very nice. See, those who are using that excuse, I guess right now they do not have any more of those excuses anymore. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. We talked about poverty and austerity being an obstacle in the way of the marriage for women, especially since we're talking to Muslim ladies out there. But I guess you got the answer. There is no justification and there is no obstacle in the way of your marriage. Even if it is poverty, you have to believe in God and in the promise he has made to you and have trust in him. And that's all. Thank you for staying with us until another session. I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you and shower you with his blessings. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense,
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: لا يعاب المرء بتأخير حقه، إنما يعاب من أخذ ما ليس له.
Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam, said, "No person is to be blamed for delay in securing his own right, but blame lies on him who takes what he is not entitled to."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, programs To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, when we are talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course we find that this divinely appointed Imam, this living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has taught us such beautiful virtues and morals and ethics throughout his life. The life of the commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, is full of lessons for every single one of us that can be used even in the present day. There's a beautiful tradition we find from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, where he was performing his morning prayers, his Fajr prayers, and he was in a gathering with his companions. All of a sudden, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, turns towards his companions and says, "O companions, last night I dreamt of my uncle Hamza and my brother Ja'far, who had a big tray of fruits before them. They were eating the fruits, which were from the tree of Sadr, which is most probably a tree from paradise. And then the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, continues and says that the fruits turned into grapes, and after some time they turned into dates. I went near my uncle Hamza and my brother Ja'far, and I said to them, "May my father be ransom for you. Which good deed did you find better?" And so they replied, "May our parents be ransom for you. Among the good deeds we did not find but three deeds, which were the best, namely, sending greetings upon you, quenching a thirsty person, and keeping the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib in our hearts." Allahu Akbar. Dear brothers and sisters, what an amazing tradition this is from the Messenger of Allah in ode to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, we have said over a span of time, of course, that Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah. And we said so because practically it was the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who brought up and nurtured and educated Imam Ali alayhi salam. And so, yes, he was the closest disciple, the most perfect disciple, the best disciple, to the point where eventually he was appointed by the Almighty Allah to be the rightful successor to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, the importance of keeping the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, as we have also said in many programs, that listen, merely loving an individual and that's it is not really the ultimate form of love. When you truly love somebody, you listen to them, you obey them, you try to imitate them, you try to do whatever is necessary to please and satisfy that individual. And so, likewise, in this scenario too, if one were to have the love for Imam Ali alayhi salam, they would do the same. They would try to imitate the first divinely appointed Imam. They would try to obey the first divinely appointed Imam. They would listen to his words. They would try to follow his actions and obey his actions. And the same goes for the love for the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. And of course, the same applies to the love we have for the Almighty Allah. We must obey the Almighty Allah. We must listen to the words of the Almighty Allah. We must follow the commands of the Almighty Allah if we truly love them. Now, of course, if we can't do these actions, then that means that there is something wrong with the love that we have for Allah, or the love that we have for the Prophet of Allah or Imam Ali alayhim as-salam. And so it is of utmost importance that along with loving this divinely appointed Imam, we obey this divinely appointed Imam. And of course, what better way to obey Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam than to follow his universal persona? This universal persona, which over various different episodes we have spoken about, we find, you know, his courage or his bravery, his chivalry, his modesty, his helping the poor, his helping the weak, providing for widows, providing for orphans. This, again, another profound and thought-provoking lesson that we have brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, the program To My Brother. This moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرضه وحجته على عباده السلام عليك يا أمير
المؤمنين. Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah. to administer his earth and to convince the mankind to accept his plan. Peace be upon you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. I testify that you made utmost efforts, as it should be, in the cause of Allah, acted upon his book, followed the way of life of his Prophet, blessings of Allah be on him and his children, to the last moment of your life, until Allah invited you to come unto him, and used his discretion to take you away, and sealed your enemy's doom with the blame that the arguments had been made known to one and all through you. O Allah, let me be happy and satisfied with that which thou considers good for me. Let me agree with that which thou decides for me. Let me passionately remember thee and invoke thee. Let me be in love with thy pure and sincere friends. Let me be well liked and respected on the earth and in the heavens. Let me be unruffled and well composed in the midst of misfortunes. Let me be gratefully thankful in prosperity. Let me be mindful of much and more bounties. Let me ardently desire for the heart-warming meeting with thee, well equipped with piety to gain my end on the day of requital. Let me follow into the footsteps of thy representatives. Let me disassociate myself from the mannerism of thy enemies. Let me pass my time in this world by praising and glorifying thee.
كل صبح وكل اشراق ايام تبكى عيني بدمع مشتاق ايام قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
When we are told that the Salat is mi'raj of a mu'min, not in ruku, not in qiyam, it is in sajda. The more we put ourselves down, the more elevated becomes our soul. That becomes the mi'raj for a mu'min. So when we talk about spiritual path, we have to realize total submission is the key to become mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where the love is not only now emanating from here to from the abd to the rab, it also comes from rab to the abd. And this is where we have to realize when we look at the life of Ali. The life of Ali, not only his namaz, his entire life, whatever he did, was submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Ali spoke, he spoke for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Ali was silent, he was silent for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Ali took out the sword and he would fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Ali will put down the sword and be silent, that will be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Ali was kind and gentle to some, that was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he was, you know, firm and, you know, very strict with others, that was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he was pleased with some or angry with others, in both situations, that was for the rida and the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Dear Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Leader meets with senior armed forces commanders and officials. On Sunday, 16th of April 2023, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, met with a group of top military commanders and security officials in Tehran. In this program, we discussed the leader's speech and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. Meeting with a group of top military commanders in Tehran on Sunday afternoon, 16th of April, and on the eve of Army Day in the Islamic Republic, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the commander-in-chief of the Iranian Armed Forces, met with senior commanders and personnel of the armed forces. Sitting in a semicircle pattern around the leader in a very informal atmosphere, Brigadier General Bagheri, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, presented a report on the plans and steps taken by the armed forces in various areas. After Brigadier General Bagheri's presentation, Ayatollah Khamenei expressed his satisfaction about the performance of Iran's armed forces, addressing the gathering by recounting a hadith or narration from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. In Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says, "By God's permission, the military is the strong walls protecting the country and the nation." The leader went on to stress that with this lofty status comes heavy responsibilities. He added that, thank God, members of the armed forces appreciate this unique and elite status and are engaged in activities based on their responsibilities. Expressing his satisfaction with the continued progress of the armed forces, he advised them not to be content with any level of progress and to press ahead, advancing forward always, without ever stopping. The leader pointedly added, "Appreciate your own worth, the very important job that you do, and the heavy responsibilities that go with it." In his remarks, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei stressed that as long as threats exist in all areas relating to the armed forces, such as the Air Force, ground forces, the Navy, intelligence and counterintelligence operations, etc., they must be ready and alert. He pointedly added, "Threats are always with us. We can assume at times that peace has been established and we are not in a state of war, but we can never assume that threats have disappeared altogether, or there aren't any threats anymore. To me, this seems impossible, and thus our military forces must always be ready and vigilant. Readiness of military forces is itself a type of deterrent." Turning to Ayah 60 of Surah Anfal in the Holy Quran, Ayatollah Khamenei said that constant readiness is a divine commandment and a source of fear for the enemies of God and the nation. He said, "Threats will never disappear for good. Therefore, it is necessary to increase preparedness in all areas." The leader of the Islamic Revolution said that military preparedness would act as a deterrent against the enemies, calling for vigilance in the face of those plotting behind the scenes and describing this as absolutely essential. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "We must not preoccupy ourselves with small enemies who sometimes speak and act in such a way as to draw our attention." The leader added, "We should not preoccupy ourselves with such things. Rather, we should focus on the main plotters acting behind the scenes." Referring to the warmongering of the wicked global powers worldwide, he said that wherever arrogant powers find something of interest to them, they covertly create conflict. He pointedly added, "For example, there is a war going on in Ukraine today. But who is responsible for initiating this war? Who has designed and programmed this war in Ukraine? In Syria, Libya, Sudan, and elsewhere, wars have broken out, and there are those who are behind these wars. They have designed and fueled these wars. But who are they? We call them the arrogant global powers. That's who they are, the arrogant global powers. They are aggressive, and they start wars and conflicts in order to benefit from these conflicts." Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader pointed out that the commanders of the armed forces must focus carefully on the enemy's long-term plans. In this regard, he said, "It is necessary and reasonable to focus on the enemy's plans for the next 5 years to 10 years, but their medium and long-term plans should also be watched and observed." Alluding to the two wars that the United States launched on Iran's eastern and western borders 2 decades ago, he said that these wars were motivated by American interests, but their ultimate goal was Iran. However, due to the Islamic Revolution's strong stamina, the Americans failed in their adventures and could not reach their ultimate goal. Pointing to these realities, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Despite all of its calculations and seemingly strong appearance and military might, the enemy can be defeated." The leader pointedly added, "The enemy sometimes makes miscalculations, and they can certainly be defeated. We must always bear this in mind." Referring to the present situation that the Zionist regime of Israel finds itself in as another example of these defeats, the leader said that the Zionist regime's anti-Palestinian operations during the month of Ramadan in last year was not met with a backlash in the world, but this year, even in the United States and England, demonstrations were held against the Israeli regime and the crimes it has committed in the occupied Palestinian lands. He said that it is essential to be on constant vigilance and the same belief that the enemy is not invincible. Ayatollah Khamenei stressed, "At no time should we let our guard down in the face of an enemy which resorts to deception and treachery." The leader of the Islamic Revolution wrapped up his speech by encouraging the intellectual centers of the Iranian armed forces to constantly plan and develop innovative strategies and robust, rational, and effective policies.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant practice.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashimi Nejad. Please stay tuned.
این جریان عم چقدر سریعه. تکون بخوریم صورتمون رو میزنن رو خاک.
Life passes fast and we must be careful about our halal income in life. Nothing is worth losing halal income because when we are dead, we leave the world with nothing but our deeds in this world. We must not pollute our life with trivial mundane wishes. As we read in the famous Persian poem, both the night of the king in the luxurious bed and the night of the worker by the tandoor will pass in sleep.
اینجا عالم فناست.
This world is finite and transient. The other world is everlasting and infinite. Thus, we must not spend our life just for the pleasure of this world. In other words, we must not exchange this short temporal life with everlasting long life of the other world. Therefore, our deeds as a man or woman have direct effects on our future life in the hereafter. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashim Nejad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye. Thank you.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
From our imams, the ninth imam is the first, whose imamate began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Ja'far, Muhammad ibn Ali, al-Barakat.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Ja'far, Muhammad, the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the ninth divinely appointed imam from among the household of the Messenger of Allah. And Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was also the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet. We find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam lived a short period of his holy life in the city of Baghdad. While he was in the city of Baghdad, he tended towards knowledge and wisdom, and his eminence established the basis and the principles of knowledge, and he made use of the period of his stay in Baghdad in order to spread knowledge and wisdom and teach the different sciences and to merge the intellect with the Islamic sciences and literature. A great number of scholars and narrators joined Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam to learn from his eminence the different Islamic sciences such as theology, philosophy, jurisprudence, and the interpretation of the Quran, the tafsir.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio